Our scripture passage for this morning comes from 1 John chapter 4. Listen now for God's holy word. The author writes, saying, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. And let all God's people say." In July of 1831, Dr. Archibald Alexander preached in the newly built sanctuary in Blauenberg, New Jersey. His sermon that day was entitled, "The House of God Desirable." In the sermon, Dr. Alexander preached about why we come to worship, why we desire to gather in God's houses of worship. His sermon from that late July Sunday morning in Blauenberg is long, but it is not boring. Dr. Alexander was the head professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, its first president and its first teacher of biblical studies and theology. But in his sermon, it is clear that Dr. Alexander is appealing not only to his congregants' minds, but also to their hearts. In his sermon, he said the following about why we desire to gather together in God's houses of worship. He said, "There is no want, no want which every true penitent feels to be so urgent as his need of pardon." Let me say that again. "There is no want which every true penitent feels to be so urgent than his or her need for pardon." This is a bold claim, a bold statement by Dr. Alexander. He is claiming that the need that we feel most urgently when it comes to entering God's houses of worship, when it comes to gathering together and coming before God, is the need to know that we are pardoned, that we are forgiven. My first reaction as I read his sermon and heard this claim was to wonder, is that true? Is it true that, is it the case? Oh. Something strange is happening here. Hold on a minute. All right, back to my sermon. When I read Dr. Alexander's claim that the feeling that we feel most urgently is our need for pardon, our need to know that we are forgiven, my first reaction was to wonder, is that true? Is that the thing that drives us most fully, most poignantly to worship? Is it really the thing that presses us and drives us most to enter God's houses of worship? There are other feelings, I thought, other needs that might move us first or more powerfully to want to come to church and to find our place in our pews. We desire a lot of things. We desire connection. We desire to feel connected to God and to our fellow congregants. We desire love, to know that we are cherished and that we are cared for. We desire belonging. We want to know that we have a home, an identity that is founded in something real and substantial, an identity founded in God and in God's community. We desire security and peace, to know that no matter what, God is with us, to be our shepherd, our guide, our protector. We desire meaning. We want to know that our lives have meaning and purpose. And we want to know that we're here in this world for a reason, and we come to worship to help set our lives on a path that will matter. Forgiveness, I thought, is on the list of our urgent needs, but I wondered if forgiveness, if pardon, was really the feeling that we feel most urgently. So I explored that idea further. I thought about how we know that none of us live perfect lives. We know that we hurt people with our words and our actions. We know that we haven't been perfect people in this world. We haven't been perfect parents or perfect children, perfect friends or perfect siblings or neighbors or coworkers or students or employees or employers. We know that we haven't been perfect in any of our relationships. We know that we've been culpable in causing hurt and pain and trouble in this world. We know that we have been complicit in wrongdoing and in systematic evils. We know that we have made decisions and mistakes in our lives that have disappointed God. We may always try to live a good life, to make good decisions, and to do what God wants us to do, but through the years, we wonder what we have gotten right and what we may have gotten wrong. As I thought about Dr. Alexander's claim that a desire for pardon is the feeling that we feel most urgently, I thought about how hard it is to live with broken relationships, how hard it is to live when we know that we have broken and unresolved conflicts in our world. Personally, I find that experience of having an outstanding fight or an outstanding wrongdoing or an experience of a broken relationship, I find that to be an all-consuming experience. When I have hurt someone's feelings, when I have an unresolved argument in my life, when my thoughtlessness has caused others pain or hardship, the reality of that brokenness, the reality of my guilt and my culpability and my desire to want to make things right, to undo the hurt that I've caused, I find that experience to be excruciating. Each of us crave different things. We crave belonging and love and peace. And I think about how impossible it is to comfortably hold the experiences of belonging and love and peace when we have brokenness, when we have broken relationships with friends and with family members. How impossible it is to experience and to know the experience of belonging and love and peace when we feel like we have a broken relationship with God. We want and need love, but what if we don't feel like we deserve love because of our guilt? We want and to know peace, but how can we feel at peace if we believe that there are people out there who have burning anger towards us, or if that person out there with burning anger is God in God's own self? We want to know peace, but how can we have peace if we know or believe that our broken relationship is with God? As I thought about this more and more, I came to think that Dr. Alexander was right. That forgiveness, the experience of pardon, of knowing that we are forgiven, that the breach has been mended, that the offense is pardoned, that our relationship is restored. This experience is, in his words, the want felt most urgently. It is the need to know and to be reminded that we are pardoned, that we are forgiven, that makes the house of God so desirable to our hearts. For it is in being forgiven that we are able to rest comfortably in everything else that we desire. It is in being forgiven that we know love. It is in being forgiven that we experience belonging and that we are able to rest in the peace that God gives. It is in being forgiven that we are freed from the guilt and the shame that we experience and we are able to set our lives on a good path, a path of meaning and purpose. In his sermon, Dr. Alexander expounds on how God has provided us, God's people, with the pardon that we so desire and so need. In the Old Testament times, God gave the people the sacrifice of animals to help them understand God's grace and to help them anticipate the true forgiveness that God would give through Jesus Christ. Dr. Alexander says, "Every soul, therefore, which was deeply convinced of guilt and thirsted for pardon, would ardently desire to enter the courts of the Lord, where he or she might fix their believing eyes on the sacrifices which exhibited by anticipation the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." In the Old Testament times, an animal would be offered as a sacrifice, its death, and its poured out blood representing the penalty for our human sins. people of God, when we sin, we feel the weight and the guilt of that sin. And at times, the weight of our sins and our shame, they move us to experiences of misery. We think, I am a terrible sinner. And to be honest, I don't even desire to keep living this life that I've been given. The depth of this feeling, it is recognized and addressed in a sacrifice. For in a sacrifice, God acknowledges the seriousness of our sins. God acknowledges the deadly serious nature of our sins. In giving God's people the system of sacrifice, God acknowledged the deadly serious nature of our sins, our guilt and our shame. But God also began to reveal the limitless depths of God's grace. In the Old Testament practice of sacrifice, God was letting the people know that while their sins were deadly serious, God did not want them to die, for their lives to come to an end, for their lives to be destroyed because of their sinfulness. God was saying, I love you, and I want you to be free of your guilt. I want to help you overcome the condemnation that you feel. I want to give you freedom from your experience of shame. An animal would be brought forward, and the sins of the person bringing that animal would be ceremonially transferred to that beast, and its life would be taken to represent the deadly, serious consequences of sin. This blood of the sacrifice, this, according to Dr. Alexander, is what drew people to God's houses of worship in the Old Testament times, to view this blood and to be reminded that in love and in grace, God does not desire that our blood would be shed. God does not desire for us to die, for us to be destroyed, or for our lives to come to an end because of our guilt and our shame. But instead, God wants us to live lives that are freed and forgiven. Within the sacrificial system in the Old Testament times, there was an experience of the cleansing of God's people with the innocent blood of the sacrificed animal. This innocence, it represented a new life. It represented a new innocent life that was being given to God's people in God's forgiving grace. Now that the consequences of sin had fallen upon the sacrificed animal, God was giving the people a new beginning, which they received as a gift given in God's love. This is where we derive our word atonement from. Atonement comes from the Hebrew word to cover, or a covering. God covers our sins. God covers our sins. God takes an innocence, a righteousness, a goodness which we have lost, and God covers us in a restoring innocence and goodness. The sacrifice represented the death of sin and the coming to life of a new life. And through the sacrifice, God's people were assured, God does not hold your sins against you any longer. You are forgiven and you are made new. Go from this place in peace, knowing that God is with you, knowing that you are forgiven, and go and live according to God's purposes. Of course, the followers of Jesus Christ and his disciples, the early church, they understood these themes and these ideas from the Old Testament practices of sacrifice. And it was through this lens, through this model, that they understood and explained Jesus' own death and resurrection and the experience of forgiveness and new life which they had received. The author of our passage from 1 John chapter 4 explains that this is how God's love has been revealed to us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. People of God, hear and receive this good news. In this time of hardship, in this time of worry and disappointment and frustration, in this time where we wonder what God thinks of us and how God feels towards us, hear the good news of the gospel. Hear the desire of our hearts and the message which they long for, God does not hold our sins against us. God's desire is not for our death or for our destruction. God's desire is that we would be forgiven. And God has sent God's only Son to be our atoning sacrifice, to cover us in a righteousness and in a goodness which we have lost. It is upon Him, upon Christ Jesus, that the consequences of our sins have been judged and have been put to death. And it is in Him, in Jesus Christ, that we have been given and covered with an innocence, a righteousness, a goodness, which we receive from God in grace and in love. People of God, hear and receive the message of the gospel heard in God's houses of worship, a message which Dr. Alexander called a healing balm for the wounded conscience. People of God, in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.